I feel the master.
I feel
we y'all ready. They ready. Well, come on.
We
well, come on.
Ready.
Y'all ready.
They ready.
We ready. We ready. Come on. We ready. We ready. Come on.
Guys, it's been about a month since we did this. The reason I picked that song, We Ready, our listeners have been so patient. We've been trying to get this first team out for about a month.
Yeah, it was a bad idea on my part to give us that week buffer.
Yeah, it was a bad idea.
I didn't realize the athletic director was going to schedule a parents meeting that Sunday when
that
we planned on doing it.
We also moved that weekend, too.
And then we moved. Yeah, you moved.
I had a wedding to go to.
Yeah, so
it's been a while.
It's been kind
first of podcast in the Bachelor Pad.
Yeah.
I would like to welcome a special guest. Bear is the original basement boy, but because his daughter got baptized a little bit ago, we are welcoming his brother, Phil, Philly Cream Cheese. How are you, Phil?
How's it going, guys?
Good. Phil's a Cubs fan, so he's a little weird. He's, you know,
yeah, he's out there.
Anyway, first team football tonight. Big Rod's first team, 25th coaching. You guys had a hell of a scrimmage on Friday, I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to football season.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good to see the defense finally running full speed at someone with intent to tackle instead of...
Yeah,
you know, I gave a shout out to Gus in the newspaper, but I don't think the newspaper guy who knew who Gus was, so he eliminated him from the story.
That sucks, man.
Hey, you got to make your name for yourself. First,
that's fair.
I told him the story of how, because the first week you're going ones versus ones, and so Gus would get me some days, and then one day I got him, and I tried to tell that story about how our defense and offense had kind of been really beating each other
it's been
up.
50-50,
and,
yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, and how that one Wednesday, Gus just killed us. Oh, killed us. Like, it was the move the ball segment. Didn't move the ball.
It was three segments.
Oh, yeah.
And Big Rod got done with two segments and then goes, guys, we haven't moved. Just to the offense. And God, yeah, it was fun. It was it's good though, because I think our offense and defense, the way that we're meshed right now,
it's awesome.
We'll be prepared for a lot of good teams.
Opening week in high school football this coming week. Tomorrow's the first day of week one.
Yeah,
believe it or not, it's crazy.
In Wisconsin, Illinois is a week behind us.
Illinois is a little weird.
Even though they have a month of contact days.
25 days to be exact. So we thought, you know, even though we didn't get you right when we wanted to as far as first team.
Yep.
We're going to do it now. And we're a little behind. So we're going to go with a quick hitting question.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And Phil, we're going to go with you first because you're new. You got a quick hitting question. Anything you got? No, you got to tell us what you
got. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Well... Is it about high school football?
No, it could be anything. I'm going to start, so Phil and Kevin are
still quick. Go ahead.
All right, because I want your take on this. Okay, so this is the exact same day. All right, so in the morning, going to get my morning cup of coffee at Casey's. Okay, a guy about 8 steps in front of me holds the door. I feel kind of obliged to almost jog. Because
I don't like that. Absolutely. He's thinking you need to put knees to chest. That's what he's thinking.
Maybe. So... I'm like, okay, at what? And then later, I go to the Quick Trip right down here. Guy only 3 steps in front of me. Doesn't even do the, you know, I don't expect him to open the door like I'm a woman, you know. But
the handicap door.
Yeah, not even to hold back, you know, and say.
Oh, the hold back?
Just the hold back. Yeah, you know, he walks through and just kind of keeps it open a little bit.
Yeah.
No, just lets it fly.
Hmm.
And so I'm like, at what? How many steps are you obligated to try to at least do just the gentle, not the open the door and step aside, but just the hold the door.
See, the other day I held it for a woman who was still at the gas pump.
So, but here's the thing: is it different? Is there a difference
see, that's
between looking back, seeing a female,
well,
to seeing a male?
See, because for me,
you don't want to be the
for me, female,
friendly.
Female, I open and step aside.
Yeah,
correct.
But a male, I just do
the grab back.
Fair.
Yeah. I think it depends on the venue too. So, like at church or something like that, when you're walking in, if they are on the exact same sidewalk coming up and it's church, you got to be nice.
Gotta hold it.
But at a gas station, if they're not by the rear of the parked cars going in.
You throw the door open, you push it, and if
that's it.
Okay.
They make it, then they make it.
If they're by the cars right up there, you hold it back.
Because a side note here is, you know, work where you need like a key fob or whatever to get in, you know, because this always happens at school. It's like, okay, they're still like our parking lot, and then they have to cross the street yet, which is still pretty time consuming, but it's winter. She might have to dig in her purse, you know.
Yeah.
Is that now we have extended steps for workplace, or what do you think?
Oh, that's tough. I don't know. That is tough.
You know, because if you actually need, if you need to dig out.
This is a very situational.
Yeah.
If she's got her own key card, then you let it go.
Yeah, exactly.
But seriously, I mean, like, it depends on something like that.
Well,
like,
see, because that's what I think, too. Maybe there's time a lot of variables. Year. Because, like if I'm walking across the street in the morning to go to work, and it's in my wallet or whatever, so it's not that big of a deal. Yeah. I can pull out that. But if it's cold and I'm kind of hustling in and somebody opens and just sprints in and doesn't leave the door, I'm like, they could have.
Okay, come on, dude. Yeah, help me out here.
But if it's a nice day, I'm taking my time to get to work anyhow. Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of moving.
There are a lot of variables there.
Here, yeah.
Go ahead, Goose. Quick hitter.
I don't know if you guys saw that hit last night, where
the Browns game. Yeah,
the Browns game. Cleveland Browns guy made a tackle, and it was called an unnecessary use of the helmet.
And it is picture perfect. Absolutely.
So I want your.
I did not see that.
I want your guys' thought on what is an unnecessary use of a helmet. Without getting caught, I'm going to be honest,
in the NFL, there's no such thing anymore.
Yeah.
It all depends on the ref. It
becomes so soft.
Yeah, it depends on the ref. Like, for example, that was the most clean-cut, perfect tackle you could ever get. And
but
there's no answer.
Here's one thing I've noticed at the high school level, and I think even in the pros, because this happened to us in the scrimmage.
Yep.
If a kid goes down awkwardly violent, even though it's kind of a weird combination, but you know what I'm saying?
They're going to throw a penalty.
Yes. If he's depleted or something like that, because it happened where this kid was wrapped up, and I think the guy tackled him was kind of a wrestler, and he kind of threw him back at the same time another kid was coming in and kind of bent his knees over.
The thing is, they
called horse collar, even though his arms were completely wrapped around the kid's chest.
I think they don't even necessarily look at the tackle form. They look at how violent the
exercise is. Yes, exactly.
So, for example, what I'm going to guess happened with your situation was, it looked absolutely awful.
It did. It looked terrible.
He landed with his feet.
But it probably wasn't bad.
No.
So it was just a weird. In that situation, they're like, oh, yep, it looked awful.
That's what I'm saying. With all these rules, I think NFL officials are the same way.
Because that hit, to Big Rod's point, that hit was very, very violent. Like, he came in fast. He thrust
him. Yeah, yeah.
It looked bad, but it wasn't at all.
Yeah. It was great.
And in the heat of the moment, I'm sure an official sees it and is like, oh my God, if I don't call this.
Well, then it's their ass if someone gets hurt.
Right. Too many penalties.
But here's one thing I will say. Yes, to save a lot of these issues, get rid of fucking replay, please. On every play. They replay everything.
Especially pass interference.
Like, get rid of
it. That's a whole different monster.
Because I remember last year, a couple games where there was a hit. It was a boom, boom play. No flag. All of a sudden, they replay it. And all of a sudden, oh, now you're going to throw a flag for.
Yeah.
Like, get rid of that. Stop it.
Yeah, it's whatever. So, but, yeah.
Phil, that's how quick-hitting questions go. Do you have a question, or would you like to just pass?
I do not.
Okay.
Pass.
Okay. I don't have a question for you guys, but I just have a story. And I've been holding this in because I knew we were going to podcast soon. Okay? So, Big Rod, I'm going to wait until you're fully full. Grab a beer.
I'm ready.
Yeah, we're ready.
I go to Quick Trip yesterday. You guys had a film. You guys had film.
Yeah.
I go to Quick Trip yesterday. So I pull into the stall next to a Volvo, like a 98 Volvo, but it was like a short. You guys remember the old wagon type deals, like a station wagon. Yeah, okay. But smaller. It was Volvo.
So
that was number one. I noticed that.
Compact station wagon.
Yep. So that's the first thing I noticed.
Okay.
Second thing I noticed was a lady with that Volvo washing off her car. Not easy. Come on. Volvo.
Gotcha.
Her car.
Okay, she's washing off her car.
Washing off her car with a Ziploc bag of water. So it must have been melted ice.
Okay.
So she's washing off her car. So that's the second thing I noticed. Third thing I noticed, her car was...
I have so many questions.
Listen, this gets crazier. Third thing I noticed was her car was painted with, like, paint. Like artistic paint.
Oh, like the guy we were talking about the other day.
Oh, Bob Ross?
Like Bob Ross.
Basically,
like she painted her car.
It's not car paint. It's not like a nice paint.
Yeah, no, I've seen that before. Like,
she's
kind of a hippie thing. Yeah.
Hippie thing.
Yeah.
Number four, I noticed. Her license plate was from Oregon.
Okay. That says it all right there.
Yeah,
Don't ask questions yet. We'll save it until the end. Yeah. I get out of my car. She's next to me. I get out and she goes, well, I got to wash my car one way. And I just kind of laughed. Like, oh, yeah, you're... I was like,
That's not a conversation starter.
Right.
I go in, get my coffee, come back out.
Or, I'm sorry, I forgot a part.
She could have started with, I'm trying to clean my Volvo.
She goes... Sorry, fellas. I didn't realize it was that close.
It's okay.
It didn't even cross my mind.
Get off fat.
So as she's doing that, she says, sorry, I got to clean my car. Or says, I'm just cleaning my car somehow. I can't sleep.
No, when you said clean my car...
All right, let's just go.
She goes, I'm traveling. I have to clean it somehow. And I go, yeah, it's like, no problem. So it, that was already, I'm already messed up. Like, what's going on here? Come out. And I had to ask. So I get out. She's still doing her thing with her car. She's washing her car. And I had to ask. I said, where are you traveling from? And she goes, well, look at my license plate. Oregon. I'm like, oh, nice. That's cool. Like, whatever. What brings you here? And she goes, well, I had to leave Oregon because I had to look it up because I remember she told me, but I had to look it up. She said, I have electromagnetic hypersensitivity. And I said, well, what is that? And I asked way too many questions.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Yes. At that point.
And I have many questions right now. Yeah. Go on.
So I said, oh, really? Like, well, I said, what's that? She goes, well, if I get too close to power lines or plants where the scent of the plant, like a power plant, is too much, it physically disables me. And I said, at this point, I'm like, oh my God, wrap it up, Jake. I said, I see. And I said,
you're like, that happens to everyone.
No, I was just like, I said, those goddamn
power lines. I just
typical Saturday night.
So yeah, listen, guys, I'm not into the juicy part yet. So I said, I'm sorry. I said, that's too bad. I said, what'd you even say? I'm trying to tell the story. It's a great story.
It is. I think so. Let's go.
So I'm like, oh man, I'm sorry. Like, you know, that's too bad. And she goes, yeah. She goes, I went to Whitewater last night. Got a scent of a whatever plants in Whitewater. I'm not even sure what it is. And she goes, I had to leave because I was too close to a power lines. There was too many power lines. She goes, that's why I'm in Fort Atkinson. So I was like, okay. I was like, I got to go. And she goes, yeah, I'm traveling north. She goes, hopefully there's nothing too wild up there. I got to ask you guys, like, is that really a thing? Can you be like...
No.
That's a hippie thing, man.
So she's driving around from town to town.
She's from Oregon.
Just trying to find no power lines.
In the 21st century.
Huh. Is that where we're at?
Hyper... sensitivity to electromagnetic fields.
So doesn't the Earth have an electromagnetic field?
So she could. That's what I thought that's where he's going with it.
Me too.
Oregon was too.
Oregon close must be
too close to the
magnetic field.
Yeah, it must be in the detail. But this is a true story. I'm not making this up.
Yeah, I can believe
it. She should go live in the middle of a nuclear power reactor. Then they don't have.
I don't really know where she's headed.
It was, I'm not gonna lie, guys. It was one of the craziest experiences of my life.
Awesome. She could go to Mars. Mars doesn't have an electric.
And I'm not kidding. This when she was, she had a Ziploc bag with water, but cut a corner and was literally just drizzling.
Okay, that was my other question: was how do you wash a car with a Ziploc bag?
Now, does she have?
She cut a corner. And okay. It was just
did she have to buy?
Does
the
she
ice?
Have many Ziploc bags in a cooler?
I did. I will say this.
No, my guess is not cooler. You buy the ice. You put them in the Ziploc bags. Put them in the back of the car. They melt, and that's how you wash yourself and shower.
Never heard of that.
Unfortunately, I kind of peeked into the car, and it was very horridish.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm guessing that's what she does.
So you bag up ice. Ziploc bag. Shit, you could poke holes and get a little shower. Right. When you want to wash a car, it's just one.
She was a fairly greasy person.
Did you ask her when the last time she's been to Oregon was?
No, you know that last when I was leaving, I wanted to ask. I said, "When did you leave Oregon?"
Probably asked too many questions.
Yeah,
you did.
Oh, I did. I was trying to be friendly because I was like, "Where are you traveling?"
Sounds like a white person with dreadlocks. You know
I'm
going to
pull
mean?
Up a picture of her, and you tell me if this is her.
It's Phil's former girlfriend.
I just had to share this story, guys. It was literally
interesting.
I knew after I asked where you were traveling from that I was already way too deep.
You should. Sometimes you just don't ask questions.
Anyway.
Yeah. That was...
Vigor, I turned that into a completely different subject, and I... Like, we went from...
Not a Volvo?
I was just asking questions.
Have you ever heard of a Volvo? Like a
I have, yes. I have. I've heard of... Yes.
I've heard of many things.
Okay. Vigor, the first team.
Okay,
you're coaching. Here we go. Hit us
with
it.
All right. Should we start? We're going to go offense. Starting
on offense.
Save the defense. So I'm going to go quarterback, but I'm going to kind of combine quarterback and receiver. Andrew Bradley from Almond Bancroft, who's now the head coach at Almond Bancroft, who's done good things as a head coach, holds all the records, career records. He started, four-year starter for Almond. But Chad Newby, the wide receiver, when he was up there. So this is before spread offenses and stuff.
Yeah.
And plus, you're playing small school football, where there still really isn't a lot of spread offense.
Not athletes.
Yeah, so at the time, Andrew and Chad's receiving numbers, Andrew's quarterback numbers were at one time actually in the top 20 season totals. I think Andrew threw for over 1,600 yards, and Chad Newby, I think, had about 1,000 yards receiving his senior year. And we won 7 games without a running back running for over 500 yards. Oh, so
this is not a big rod offense.
No, absolutely not. This is when
polar opposite.
I know this is when I had
I
actually
was in that offense.
Unfortunately, you had two
you had two of our first. I was going to say two of our first team guys on your team, but it was. I'm telling you, that was one of the.
Can you imagine? I would have loved this.
Oh God, we went, and this was actually after Andrew had graduated. There was a year two. I went down to Platteville, and when Emmerdorfer got there, because he was kind of the king of empty quads, all this kind of stuff.
He was actually traditional spread, I believe.
Yeah. He was one of the first guys.
Eliminate the tight end.
I kind of combined Andrew Bradley and Chad New because that year they put together was unbelievable. We would run a comeback, and everybody knew it was coming, and Andrew would complete it, and Chad would catch it.
Great.
So it was good.
So I know that Dan and Hausner and Brett Morris, they've been asking about it, you know.
They've been
And they were like, dude, we want to know who is this first team quarterback. So that, you bring this up, they're going to be like, oh, what?
Because they actually, to their credit,
got close.
They probably guessed about 70%.
They did, But again, you know, Bradley, four-year start. Like, my first year there was his sophomore year. By the way, too, he's the only quarterback that has ever waved me off when calling a play.
Story. Wow. Really?
Yes.
That's balls.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine if I would have done that?
Oh.
I wouldn't have a place to sleep.
He would have slept in the garage. No. We scored a touchdown on a play, but we had holding, okay? So I'm running in the next play. He waves me off. He waves off, calls his own play, scored a touchdown. He comes over to the sideline and said, you're damn lucky that was a touchdown, Bradley.
You said that, nice.
Great. He led Almond Bancroft to, I think, level four that one year. Was that Cambria we went to that game? Him and I are the only two coaches in Almond Bancroft history to win conference titles.
I saw him play, but I wasn't old enough. Probably one of the smartest football guys.
That's what I was about to say. Never played college football.
No.
Never, but when you talk about just football savvy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just got it. He got it.
I got to ask, is Phil on your first team somewhere?
What's that? No, Phil's on my first team baseball, guys. I'm known.
Fair enough.
True. Yeah.
Cubs guy.
All right. that's
what, keep going, big guy.
Running back and Michael Walker.
Hands down.
Again.
Still as the state championship.
When you score five touchdowns in the state championship game, the thing is, too, it's a...
That's pretty good.
I'd say average.
It's the 10-year anniversary this year of the state championship title. And so they called me, and I was trying to get the numbers, but I know Michael Walker in those five... I do know this. Games? I forget the number. In the five playoff games, so you play four levels.
One through four, and then...
His touchdown total... Which I think was basically...
It was over 20, wasn't it?
Yeah. His touchdown total would have broken the school record before him for touchdowns in a season by a running back just in the playoffs.
Wow. Games.
That's unbelievable.
Just the play. Because he went five against Lake Mills. I think he went something like 5-4. He had three, and then five.
Jesus.
Yeah. So
the thing is, Big Rod says only three touchdowns in a game?
Yeah.
Yeah. I
mean, come on.
Because that was... It was so funny because when we played Ripon, when he only had three...
That's what I'm saying, only three.
He only had three. He comes out in the field, and the band starts chanting, Walker sucks. He's wound up. He almost hyperventilated. He was going so seriously.
That reminds me of Freedom. Gus sucks, dick. That was a cool chant. Freedom.
But no, he had... he also drove me crazy. We talked about that earlier, his practice habits. When if he came down awkwardly, he would lay there like he was dead, and then he punted footballs all over the place. Fullback, Mason Dixon. Again, he was the WFCA Offensive Player of the Year.
And it wasn't even a question that year.
No,
his numbers were
gone. Did he have 40?
He had 45 touchdowns.
45 touchdowns.
Wow. In a season.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Dude. And that's still one of the tops in the state.
That broke my record to zero.
Yeah.
It was close.
Just scraped by.
But I still remember his sophomore year. We're in the we would do a white... Red game, remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we had the number one defense, and we were very good that year.
Yeah.
And Bakken was still the defensive coordinator.
Oh,
and
God,
so we had the number two offense with, again, you're talking about a small school, so our offensive line, when you go number twos, you're talking sophomores, maybe a freshman or two. And we would give them the ball at the 40-yard line. The first play, Mason Dixon went 60 yards for a touchdown. Bakken almost had a brain aneurysm. Yeah. And all of a sudden, we're like, maybe I should move this guy up to varsity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And oh my God.
Dude, that's just
incredible career.
He would, I remember, it was so fun blocking for him because, A, as a tight end, I'd touch the DN for a split second and then go watch him run.
Yeah.
And he would get so pissed when he got tackled by just one guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what playoff game was it? Lakeside
Lakeside Lutheran?
Lakeside Lutheran, yeah. and he got tackled by his little cowboy collar,
yeah.
and he got up, and I thought he was going to kill somebody.
I just remember one time I had Kenny and Mason both in my backfield.
Yes. And then Jake wonders why he didn't throw the ball.
Yeah, no,
my career high for attempts in the game was 12, and it was because I think Big Rod just wanted to experiment.
I was bored. Wanted to put on a display for the fans.
I was because
we handed to Mason or Kenny, they're going for a touchdown.
0 for 12 you went?
10 of 12.
Yeah.
My completion percentage for career was 82%, just saying. I just want to say this story. So I'll never forget this. I think we were playing. It was a conference game. We were out. And I handed off the ball to Mason. And it was a zone read. So you have to kind of give it to him. But you're supposed to. You had a three-back going in motion to, you know, option. I never really followed out my fake. I just kind of gave it to him and let him run. Because he scored. I go to the sideline. And, you know, Mason scores. And I go to Big Rod. Going for a high five because we scored, you know. It's a good deal. And he goes, Jake, why didn't you carry your fake? And I look at him. I said, Dad, I wanted to watch. Like, why wouldn't you want to watch that, you know?
Yeah.
So probably one of the cooler memories because, obviously, like, again, football coach's mind, carry out your fake, keep him honest. Well, if you have an All-State running back in your backfield and you can hand it to him and just watch, why wouldn't you? So, with a great offensive line, by the way.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I learned this coaching Mason, you know, coach's point. Also from coaching J.D. Leisman. Mason's stance was the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. When his three-point
stance was so bad. And one of the coaches was like, is he always – are you going to correct that? I'm like, no.
Don't correct a guy that has 40 touchdowns.
He's averaging 8 yards a carry. I think we'll let him go. And then the other good Mason memory, he played against Beloit Turner that year. I had to pull him out with 6 minutes left in the second quarter. He never got tackled.
Nope.
Wow. It is true.
Never I missed that game. Like, because he did not have to wash his jersey. Yeah. He literally never hit the ground.
And he didn't sweat because he just go run and back.
I apologize. I said, Mason, I got to pull you out because I can't run a play that you don't score.
Like, it's 56. The thing is, he got pulled and it was still 63-0 at half.
Wow.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was my junior. Oh, God, that was my first.
I think I made that comment to the paper, too, and then a lot of Beloit Turner people got pissed. But that happens. All right, so on to first-team tight end, Nathan Nagel. One of the baddest dudes I've coached.
That is one mean MF-er.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved coaching that guy. There were times he drove you crazy, but the reason he has to be tight end is the
Lodi.
Play against Lodi.
I'll never forget that play. Holy crap.
He was so excited he didn't know what to do with the ball.
He caught a tight end pop pass. So it's... Third and 10.
I thought it was double digits. I thought it was 11.
I thought
it was like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
It might have been.
I thought it was a risky play.
We went run, we went fade. Yeah. And then actually Dowden kind of checked to that. That was because Lodi liked to blitz.
I thought it was like 12 or 11.
It could have been because I know Kiblin was warming up to make a field goal to try to win the game. And I was like, ooh, that's not
I'm
good.
I'm almost positive.
Because we're at like the 22. And
there wasn't a – I think what happened was, correct me if I'm wrong, there was a positive play and there was a penalty.
There was a penalty too.
There was like a plus six, but I think you're right. I swear to God,
and that's why we had to run. Yes. Yeah, we ran the fade to McGreevy, and he just missed it. Yeah, and Dowden saw him blitzing, so he hit Nagel probably 9 yards from the line of scrimmage, and then Nagel hit every
defensive back
on his way to the end zone.
Not hit him. He just like forearm shivered to the face.
Like it was I am scoring.
Let's put it this way: Nagel
was not coming down.
No.
I mean, he could have caught that at the 1 yard line and scored 99 yards because he was not letting anybody down.
You know, and the funny thing was, in the state championship game, we ran our goal line package more than we had the entire year, and he was a fullback in the goal line package. And that was when Walker scored 5 touchdowns. But a lot of the college coaches were like, oh my God, that 86 you got in the backfield, he brings it. And so he was great tight end.
Absolutely.
Holy cow. Look, that load I played. You want to see somebody that just refuses to, like, get tackled.
No one was tackling that game.
Yeah.
Well, what do they always say? Play every play like it's your last.
Yeah. That was literally his last play. I got goosebumps.
I will say, though, one play before the Nagel play, to me, that was the honorable mention best play that game. The layout interception by
McGreevy. Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
I mean, complete total stretch.
And then wide receiver, I talked about Chad Newby again. Just a great year back in the days before there were spread offenses where your top receiver normally caught, you know, 15 catches and he had like 40-some. Slot, Kenneth Walker. This is what Jake was talking about earlier. Jake, I had to tell him when he was quarterback.
I was going to tell a story. Hopefully you got the same
one. I said, I know chicks dig the long ball, but, you know, if you throw it to Kenneth, 8 yards down the field, he's going to take it 80. So it still looks like an 80-yard touchdown pass in the papers.
For you,
and chicks dig that.
The funniest part about this story was that same game we were at home, we played Delavan my senior year at home. Or, I'm sorry, we played Westosha at home because we played junior year at Westosha. We had Westosha at home my senior year, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Ramshack, Lake Geneva Regional News, has a picture of me, and it makes it look like I'm throwing a bomb, right? and had Jake Wadig on, had my picture, it was a bubble to Kenny. It said Jake Wadig completes an 82-yard touchdown bomb to Kenneth Walker. So Big Rod wasn't lying.
No, I wasn't lying. See?
It was really a 6-yard pass. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty fun.
No,
that's awesome.
My thing about Kenneth Walker is it's not even a football memory. Track season.
Oh, my goodness. He drove me crazy.
So I'm in the 110s, 110 high hurdles, and before our heat is up, I'm running around, I'm warming up. Kenny is just laying down in the infield with his headphones on, taking a nap. And then our athletic director at the time, Tim Collins, has to come over and kick him and go, you're up. Takes off his stuff, gets up in the blocks, and when I'm telling you, a hurdler, when you know you're good, your head stays at the exact same level. He ran hurdles. He didn't jump the hurdles. He just ran, like, boom, boom, smooth, walk back down, put his headphones on, wait for the 300s, and then lay down.
And then he'd run the 300s. He's coming out of the blocks.
Oh, God.
One time, he's literally wiping his eyes or something with his hands, and he's in about fifth. Like, he would purposely just coast, and then as soon as they hit the corner, he'd be in about fifth place. He'd beat everybody by a hurdle.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Like, I had a hard time finding cut-ups for him to go to send to colleges.
Because even like on the football field,
he was so smooth.
So effortless.
Such a smooth athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll never forget
his running was, it was cool to watch.
I'll never forget watching the film week one, it might have been my senior year. And he housed the kickoff.
Oh, yeah, the opening, yep.
And I'll never forget Bakken saying he housed it, and Bakken was still being critical.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And
Bakken hated him.
He did. And Bakken goes, Kenny, when are you going to sprint? And I remember Kenneth going, Coach, I was sprinting. And Bakken was like,
the thing is, you never looked tell.
Like
no,
he was so smooth. He was, he had long strides, just perfect form. It was,
he was
unbelievable.
He was good.
Yeah. All right, on to offensive line. This one's probably going to surprise some people, but Travis Frederick.
He's okay.
He's going to be a first team offensive lineman. I know a lot of people probably didn't see that one coming.
Phil, do you know that guy?
I do. He was pretty good.
Yep.
I actually watched highlights this morning. He stoned Aaron Donald last night in a preseason game.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool to watch. He's been playing. He played two series last night and two series week one. So.
Yeah. Well, he's to get back again, into it. Yeah. He says he's about 100%. Just on top of, because I don't have to talk a lot about how good he was, because everyone's seen that, but just a great guy. I mean, when he enrolled in Wisconsin early, he came back because he was a class president and still planned the graduation and had to do all that stuff that a class president does.
For Bigfoot High School.
Yeah, for Bigfoot High School, yeah. Even though, and he was a computer engineering and doing all that thing.
And he's giving back, too. I mean, I don't know a lot of the details, but from what I've heard, and it could be rumors, but he had a lot to do with, he got an end zone camp for the high school. Maybe something to do with the turf.
Well, his biggest thing is blocking out hunger. He runs a blocking out hunger program in Dallas, that's kind of his big thing. He does the blocking out hunger thing, but
which is actually
again a guy that comes back and
already building his house, right?
Yep, I texted him last year about how he's doing, with his autoimmune thing, and he's like, "Oh, I see your daughter got married." He's just one of those
great
guys, just a great guy. Luke Kale. Luke was an All-State performer, graduated with you.
Probably one of my favorite human beings.
Yeah, just another great guy. One of those typical offensive lineman kind of guys, kind of the cerebral, a little strange maybe, but, kind of a goofball, but just
but
strong.
By choice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh,
we
yeah,
could get into a story. I don't want to get there because it's a little,
yeah,
it's a little
I
different.
I
but
don't want
Luke
to.
Was that guy where it didn't matter who you were.
Right.
He was going to be your friend.
Yeah, Luke gets along with everybody.
And that's what I loved about him. Luke didn't care. And
God, I forgot. He was a big freak.
Yes, he was.
And he was strong.
He was just not – it doesn't look like he's strong, even like when he's benching and stuff, but when it came to football, holy.
And that's what was so cool. I mean, being the quarterback behind him, T-Sant and Dylan, those guys, they were all like kind of my core group of friends. So it was really cool how it worked out.
Yeah.
And those guys were great dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Another O-line – excuse me – was Heslin Menadou from Almendbanker. Almend,
yep. 75.
You know, yep, 3-year starter. Well,
he was a big dude.
He was a big dude.
Maybe it's because I was little and I remember this, but was he like 6'6"?
No,
he was a big dude.
He was a big dude. Yeah, he was 6'3".
Okay, because I mean, I remember I was little.
But yeah, I swear to God, I thought he was like 7 foot.
He looked 7 foot.
And another one of those guys, just great. Again, kids, if you're listening, if you go to college, hang out at the parties with the O-linemen.
Yes.
O-linemen are good guys.
Absolutely.
They're not threatening. You know
what? They get chicks.
Yes, they do. Because all the girls show up there because they know they're not threatening. And we got big guys. If somebody's going to be a dick, mm-hmm. the big Absolutely. Guys are going to take care of them. Speaking of big guys, the other guy, Garrett Jeters.
Yeah.
Jeters, now a police officer.
Yep, I was going to say.
So if I get pulled over in Walworth, Garrett, you know, help me out.
Is that Derek Jeter's brother?
Not Derek.
No. It's not Jeter. Oh, here we go. You want to hear a Jeter story?
Yeah, Gus has a Jeter story. But no, Garrett Jeters, here's the fun fact of he quit youth football because he was that chubby little...
Travis Frederick.
Chubby little fat kid.
Travis did too.
Well, no, Travis quit. No, he just quit. He was too big to play.
Oh, I thought it was...
No,
you're right.
Travis was just too big to... But Jeter's quit youth football because, you know, who wants to be that lineman that's big and slow and they're yelling at you when you're doing conditioning all the time? Yeah. And he ended up being an all-state tackle.
I'll tell you what, he
for a big dude. And
I'm not going to lie. I remember because, you know, I'm a junior and Gus's class. They're juniors. And Garrett came in and, you know, he's kind of roly-poly pudgy guy. And I was like, man, you know what? Like, he's big, but can he really play ball? You know, can he really do it? By the time I graduated and I was doing stats for your team, Big Rob, when you guys were seniors, like, he was hands down the best lineman.
Absolutely.
In that conference.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wasn't even a question.
He was unbelievable. Nobody got by him. He drove everybody back.
And he had good feet.
He had good feet.
And he went to Itasca, a JUCO, to play football for a little bit, but then broke his feet.
Another kid that was just incredibly strong.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't have to lift the weight. He was just strong. Yeah. You know?
Yep. So country strong.
Country strong. Yep. That's right. That's the word.
Then next. Oh, I just hit the wrong tab.
New Mexico. Is that messing you up?
Yeah, it is. Last one's Ryan Arntz. Ryan Arntz from Bigfoot. And I only got to coach him.
One of my favorites as well.
Yeah, a couple years. But, oh, my goodness. He went on to play at Platteville. I think he was coaching.
He started his career.
He had a really good career there. His dad, too, helped out.
Oh, my God.
His dad. Great
my Kim. Favorite coach ever.
Yeah, Kim was. He was absolutely awesome. But he, like I said, he was just, like I said, the typical O-line guy. Nice guy. Great guy.
Smart.
Worked hard. And like I said, he was probably...
He was early on in your Bigfoot
career. Early on in Bigfoot career.
Yeah. You know what? And you look back and it's like, without guys like that, even though you guys weren't uberly successful,
right? But he
without guys like that, you probably aren't successful at all.
Right. He laid the foundation.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
You look at guys like that, especially early on, you look at like him, Corey Voss.
Yeah.
Mike Dowden.
Yeah, that whole team.
Without those guys?
Right.
I mean,
we talked about that. Like I said, Corey Voss is that first playoff game where he just...
Right, and Mike Dowden we talked about too, who probably was a very close first teamer.
Oh, absolutely. The quarterback thing, like I said, was tough.
Yep. Without guys like that, your Bigfoot program would have never been what it was.
Okay, it's just that team did so much with not as much talent for God's sakes.
They established your culture. Senior, you work your ass off, you do more with less, and you win football games. That's all it is. So.
Yeah.
All right, so we are on to... kicker, Ian Gallagher.
Yep.
Gallagher could kick it anywhere. He could kick it in the end zone. We divided up the nine segments.
Just to add a little fun.
Yeah, he had like a 40-yard onside kick. You know, different things like that because they would play so deep. And I got bored of him just kicking in the end zone. So I'm like this. But you know, Gallagher was also the guy who might come to practice and tell me, "Yeah, my leg's not feeling today." And I'm like, "All right, coaches, cancel special teams." Because he's our
God. There was one day we were warming up. Remember we did four square or whatever. Yeah. What did we call that? When we were warming up, we did the square.
Four square.
And all of a sudden, we're all warming up, and Gallagher's sitting back here like, it looks like he is tripping on some sort of hallucinogen type deal. And we're like, dude, what are you doing? He goes, there's a cobweb on me. Screw it. We're just going to keep going.
Speaking of Big Rod's coaching anniversary, I do want to bring this up. And Big Rod, I know you're going to comment on this. Foursquare, we would always, and this might be part of your culture type deal, We would always make it about 10 minutes longer than it should have been.
I knew that. It was almost like a team bonding thing, because because the boy coaches are like, are they supposed to? I'm like, listen, this is kind of where you just kind of hang out.
I'll never forget one time. We were doing Foursquare. We were all just talking, but we were doing our one stretch for
five minutes.
And I'll never forget Bear God coming to the circle, and we all kind of, and I think it was Ian Varek. She says, he gives the signal.
Oh, yeah, because that's the guy's gossip hour.
Right? It's
big time gossip.
Foursquare was, there was no coaches. It was right. All boys. Yeah. And I'll never forget, we're sitting there, we had
problems. I also got in trouble one time because they were talking about some player's mom, and she found out.
Anyway, we're Foursquare in here, and we're talking, we were doing one stretch for about 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, Big Rod, we see him start to walk, and we're like, okay. And Ian gave us the signal, like, switch. And Big Rod goes, hey, guys, let's go. Let's wrap this up. And we're like, yeah, we're good. And we literally
did that right into Fab Five, didn't we?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's why we took so long. Because was next.
And that's the thing is, we have Fab Five.
And it was, Foursquare was,
we have Fab Five at Melton, and they complained about it at the end of
Foursquare
practice.
Foursquare was awesome.
But,
Foursquare was what really made our team, I think. I mean, because we just got to know everybody. And, you know, if you were in the back of the Foursquare, we would pick on you a little bit. Yeah. It is what it is.
Foursquare.
You had four lines. It's a square.
Four lines. And you filled it up. Lines up behind, like about 4 to 5 deep, all in a row.
And you would just sit there and.
It's a gossip. You would just gossip. Great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You talk about some chicks. You talk about football. Talk about players' moms. You talk about anything. So.
And Gallagher does still have the record for 84 PATs in the season. 84
consecutive, 80, correct?
No, he had 82 consecutive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Don't tell Gus about to go.
Hey, games in football are won and lost in inches. So it could have went either way.
You about to go defense here?
Well, first, I'll count, first team returner. Well, because I know when I put Kenny Walker at second team, people are probably going, what? But Dave Johnson at Almond.
Amazing play I've ever seen in my life.
Yep. That's the most football smart.
I want you to tell the story because you would do it better.
Well, we had talked because I always talk.
This is the best.
I always bring up the little things, and sometimes players don't pay attention. But if the punt team swats the ball or touches it
with their hand,
or any part of
it bounced off their helmet.
The
ball is actually still live, but if you fumble, you can take it at first touch.
Mm-hmm.
So I told all these guys this in one of the first round playoff game. And the guy guy just kind of runs back. I think he just kind of
cleated it.
Yeah, he just kind of
stepped on it.
Kind of stepped on the ball. And the refs, being aware, didn't blow the whistle. He
scooped it.
Dave Johnson just grabbed it, picked it up, took it the distance as everybody watched.
He walked towards the pile of the other punt team players
because they were all standing around.
As a matter of fact, if I remember this correctly, the guy stepped on the ball. Nobody did anything. Was there for like maybe a second and a half, 2 seconds.
No, because he was walking towards it.
He walked to it.
The thing is, even we did that, the college practices and stuff, but they would run to the ball to try and scoop it. But Dave was cool, walked up and grabbed it and gone. That was sweet.
And nobody punted to him after the third week. I think he returned a punt for a touchdown. Well, and he also had about 5 interception returns for a touchdown.
He was so good. In open field, he knew.
Probably one of the most instinctive players I've seen.
Oh, absolutely.
Other than maybe Gus.
And he was, first of all, he's one of those guys who could go from first to fifth like this. Like he could shift into a high gear quicker than anyone.
Really?
Yeah.
Remember that.
I've never seen a guy that could play the football better. Maybe Mike Walker, maybe.
Yeah, him and Mike Walker they're definitely two of the best.
Before we get to defense, we go on defense next?
Yeah.
I got to ask you guys a question.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on Antonio Brown and this helmet deal?
Oh, God. I don't want to talk about this.
I kind of want to hear what Big Rod has to say, honestly. Phil, what do you think?
He's a diva.
He's a diva?
He's the greatest wide receiver right now in the NFL, but...
DeAndre Hopkins.
Him and Hopkins are...
Julio Jones.
1-2.
Big Rod, what do you think of Antonio Brown and this helmet deal?
He cries about a lot.
He does.
He does.
But again, if you're an adult over the age of 18 and you want to scramble your brains, go for it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's true. That's a good
point. They know what they're getting into, I suppose.
Yeah, you know what I mean? At that point,
it wasn't a legal helmet, though.
But it's...
Granted, you have to follow certain regulations.
It's not illegal.
So here's what I would do at the NFL.
And that's
if you're wearing an illegal helmet, just fine him $100,000 a game that goes to some charity, or you get a different
one. I like that, actually.
Because you know what I mean?
I heard there was like 11 other choices that he could choose from.
How
do you not like
30? And I tell you this, I mean, come on, dude. Like, you can get a helmet identical to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same face mask, but the reason that he couldn't wear it is helmets nowadays have a 10-year lifespan. Why are you throwing a fit?
Well, plus, he's great at marketing himself.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of that, too. Hey, if I can, you know, ESPN is going 24 hours of sports, and it's preseason NFL football. And if I can dominate four of those hours just because I refuse to wear a new helmet.
And he plays for the Raiders, so hard
knocks. And they have Hard Knocks in Oakland, right, yeah, too.
So, come on. These guys, I just, whatever. Again, I don't even worry about
it. I just had to ask before.
No,
I wanted to transition.
But again, hell, I don't care if he plays without a helmet. He knows the rest.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah, you signed up for it.
It's like your job. If you show up one day without shoes... Okay.
Or go into some, what was it, cryogenic chamber.
Yeah, without the slippers on. Oh, yeah. You have frostbite. Okay.
I never even actually read into that because I thought it was that messed up. Well, is that a thing?
His feet were disgusting. Oh, yeah. Was it? Yeah.
Never read into it. I swear. Dear God, first team defense. Here we go.
All right, here we go. Kyle Haberlin. This is I'm going to go two defensive ends. I'm going to go Kyle Haberlin and Garrett Carey. I'm going to kind of pair both from Bigfoot. Kyle Haberlin, my first team there at Bigfoot. He was just
scary.
A motor guy. Like scary. He, yes.
Had a beard in eighth grade.
Yep.
He was just a man. If I had to compare him to a player now, he was like the J.J. Watt because he would always bleed from the nose. He had taped knuckles and fingers.
Oh, yeah.
He was just
that freak. No, he was scary.
He went on. Grow a beard now.
Yeah. I'm
30.
It's a Sharon thing.
Oh, yeah. I like how you shaved it. It looks a little Amish. Thank you. I like it. It's good.
I try to,
cater to us.
Trying to cater to the Amish crowd.
The Amish. Right, exactly. They're out there trying to live a life.
Yeah. I don't know if they're listening on the radio.
I don't think they have radio.
or podcast.
Yeah. But anyhow, Kyle, you know, he went to Culver Stockton.
Yeah.
Graduated. He's actually now coaching. Yeah, coaching eight-man football.
Yep.
But he was a guy, you know, he's one of those guys I've always talked about. I said, you know,
use
football to get your degree.
He did that because he
might still be in Sharon, you know, drinking a 30-pack of Keystone in his garage.
But, he probably still is, and you know what, Kyle?
Kyle, we need to drink together.
Yeah.
Garrett Carey, probably one of the most talented big guys I've ever coached. Not even probably, I take it back.
Yeah.
By far, the most talented.
And he's a lot like Kenny, where you would
be just...
Like, even compared to Travis...
Yeah, oh, dude, he's more athletic than Travis.
His athleticism was better than Travis.
Yes, he really was.
Agreed.
I mean, faster 40 time, quicker feet, probably. But
he was big.
Yes, he was.
Like 270, 260.
I'll never forget, you know,
he was 6'3".
He started as a freshman in our state championship team. A lot of people forget that. And I almost blew that. Because he was a school choice kid. I'll never forget, his parents come in, and he's this big dude. And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
He
looks good. And his dad... Big guy.
Big guy. Oh, yeah.
And his dad's talking to me. He goes, do you move freshmen up to varsity? And I said, no. You know, I said, even Travis Frederick didn't play varsity as a freshman. And, well, we moved him up to varsity.
Well, you got lucky then.
Yeah. And defensive tackle, again, believe it or not, Travis Frederick made the but Travis Frederick on defense.
I don't buy it.
I've got to tell the Pelmeyer Eagles story here. Oh. Last game of Travis's regular season, his senior year, he's reaching out to make a one-arm tackle. And John Petkoff, was it Petkoff? Was
it? A freshman, yeah.
Petkoff, no, he was only a junior at the time. He was a junior. He was 1 year behind because Petkoff was a senior. Petkoff comes flying up and his helmet hits his forearm and breaks Travis Frederick's arm. Travis comes off the field, which he never came off the field with injury, holding his arm.
Oh, my God.
And the crowd was silent for 10 minutes.
Dude, I'm talking like the game kept going.
The game kept going.
But the whole stands were focused on Travis Trainer James.
You could hear me whisper a play call to the quarterback in his helmet. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
And then I go the next Sunday. So this is Friday night, Sunday. Travis has a cast on and he's hitting a sled to see how much pain he can tolerate. And I'm like, Travis, you can take round one off because we plan on
had guts.
Yeah so that was
great. Not on that level, but up there.
Dean Smith, how about, and then here's my memory of Dean Smith, state championship game again. Kiwani decides to go for it on fourth and one. Dean at the time is just a junior, right? Or was he a sophomore?
You're ahead of me because I was a sophomore.
Okay, all right, so he's a junior and they run and he breaks a double team and stonewalls the guy. And then it was basically game over.
Yeah, they had the fullbacks with the big neck rolls. Oh, yeah. And Dean came up and just stuffed him, and it was like, okay, well, welcome to it.
He was also one of those guys that was just probably wouldn't have to lift a weight in his life and was just naturally strong.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I remember Coach Bakken actually headbutting Dean Smith my freshman year, and I was scared. Yep. I genuinely was
Dean
like,
loved it, though.
Yeah.
So the linebackers, and I'm gonna talk about them all together because they were all basically the same sort of breed. Gus had to. You know, Gus, we had to move him up as a freshman. I had to remind him that when we went to that Notre Dame 7-on-7, he got burned. And he was getting so pissed. I'm like, I think it was the first time I actually dropped an F-bomb to a player, and that was to Gus.
They got dropped an F-bomb to me, too, once.
I did. And Dustin Sorrentino and Matt Fogarty. And the reason I group them all together is, one, they would run through brick walls. Two,
100%.
If they missed a tackle, you were so shocked that it stuck in your memory.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, out of all of us, though, Dustin Sorrentino is the best open field tackler I have ever seen in my life.
Agreed.
Matt Fogarty, I had to take off kickoff team because he was hurting people. He would break up the wedge.
I'll never forget this. It was against Turner.
That was it, yeah.
He hit the wedge guy so hard that he hit him into the return guy, hurt both of them, and they both left in an ambulance.
Yep.
Yes, that... Yeah, thanks, Fogarty. You delayed that game like a half hour.
It was Turner, he hit him.
Yep, I do remember that.
That'll hit.
The thing is, if Fogarty was, you know,
6'3",
bigger, you know, he would.
Oh, God, Duluth was still talking to him, and he was 5'10".
Yeah. Oh, he's if that, 5'9".
Yeah.
I mean, something like
that. He should have been D1 if he was tall.
He's now a great singer. Like, he sings country music in his garage.
Fogarty, go to Nashville, dude. Just go to a bar.
Go to Nashville, show up at a bar.
So, like,
tell us when you're going. We'll go. Hell yeah. I love Nashville.
Dustin was never a big hitter. I mean,
he was not a big hitter.
But he
Fogarty was a big hitter, but Dustin never missed
it. Dustin reminds me a lot of
him. He was the master of the gator roll.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Roquan Smith.
Which I'm surprised how his shoulders aren't as bad as mine.
Anyway.
And then the other one, B.J. Pratt from Almond Bancroft.
Just a run stuffer?
Oh, you know, the thing was, like I said, when I got to Almond Bancroft, you know, those bunch of small-town guys, and B.J. Pratt, just a great kid. And he, if you saw him coming off the bus, you'd be like, is he a D-League softball player? But, man, did he have a nose for the ball. And just even to this day, one of the guys I stay in touch with, just a great guy. And
he might be able to go beer for beer with you.
Oh, he can.
Oh, God.
And I'll tell you this, though. The big thing is, because I had other linebackers come through that looked a lot better and at the combine, but B.J. Pratt, nose for the ball. And it wasn't coach. You know what
game
I mean?
Speed.
You're, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know what I mean? You're thinking, he was slower than the running back, but he was going to get there somehow.
Natural instinct.
Yes, I love that. And then defensive backs, Dave Johnson, I kind of talked about him. In his interceptions, back, you know, up there, we played basically a cover three or cover one where he was just a free safety, a rails man. And the number of interceptions he had, and when he caught it, he was
all hands.
And he was taking it. And he was taking it back.
Like Ed Reed.
I have to say, in your 25 years of coaching, he's the one player that sticks in my head. Is just
electric.
I mean, Mike Walker, obviously.
Well, yeah.
But
you want to talk about
Johnson,
big play
you put Dave ability. Dave Johnson in the 90s, and you put Dave Johnson in maybe a Milton football team, he's just as good.
Yeah,
without question. Yeah. That's why I think he is so underrated, and he was amazing. He was absolutely amazing.
And then safety, Carter Hare.
Another
freak
ball
of an athlete.
Ball hawk. Walked on to Arizona as a only 5'8". And the thing is, you know, we've talked about the whole quarterback ordeal, trying to figure out
quarterbacks. I loved him at quarterback.
He was a great quarterback. I mean, that one year, I think he completed 77% of his passes.
My favorite thing was he knew that I'd rather hit somebody than catch a pass.
Yeah, so rather than throw it to you, he'd just have you come back and crack.
Yeah, that freedom game, that was...
But
that
no, he was one of those guys that he could go sideline to sideline in cover three.
He was fast.
Yeah,
fast. And I tell you what, I think actually at one point set the school record?
I think he did. I think
for interceptions.
Yeah,
I think, and I think Zach Greco.
Zach Greco broke it.
Zach did. Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Because I think he had 8 that one year.
Yeah, 8. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the other one, Brian Scheel. He teamed up.
Scheel boy.
Oh yeah.
I freaking love Scheel.
Oh, Scheel was one of those guys too.
Man,
he would bait the quarterback. This is
about
Scheel.
He would kind of sag because he was fast enough where he would sag off
that corner and then
he'd pick it.
Yeah. He was part of that secondary, and again, another great kid.
What a team that was, man.
That was. And then punter, you know, Matthew.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, four-time all-conference punter.
Yeah.
In the Big Eight?
Yeah. He had, what was that, an 82-yard punt against Madison East?
Yep.
Well, there was some wind there. And it was a good roll.
That's still incredible.
Yes.
And averaged over 40 yards his entire career. His actually lowest average was this year just because our offense
was decent.
No, it was our defense was good, so we didn't have such bad field position.
Yeah. That's
what I'm saying. Went for it more often and kicked field goals.
I think, to be honest with you, we spent so much time at camps for linebacker and tight end that he really didn't work on punting this summer. But
he did can punt football, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, his eighth grade year, we were so bad at Beloit Memorial, I made him learn how to long snap and punt. Obviously, he can't do both. And so,
you mean he didn't long snap to himself?
Well, that was the other option. So
at that point, freshman year,
we're like, okay, let's see. Okay, we got a guy who can kind of long snap. You're a punter. So, yeah. So, again, this has been great to talk about all these guys. And all these guys are, you know, like I said, they're just good people.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny, you know, you look back at this, and I can't look at a single guy on this list and say, you know, that kid was kind of a
good athlete, but a douchebag. But these guys, every guy
on this team, not only were they good players, they were coachable. And, you know, that's what it takes. And, you know, hell, I might do this next year, probably sprinkle in a couple Middleton kids.
Milton. I hope no one in Milton is listening to this right now.
I'm still in Big Eight mode there.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy because this all started one night. We were just like, Big Rod, like, we were talking about some of your players.
Yeah. Where would you put them? You know,
thing is, as the farther we got along, and we apologize for putting this
off. I will put no Middleton kids on this, by the way. Sorry.
I give Big Rod the benefit of the doubt. As a coach, you're always trying to go against other teams, and Middleton was always the team, you know. To be able to talk about players like this, and to be able to look at the body of work that you've accomplished with not only wins and losses, but just players you've coached is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of talent and the amount of players that have actually gone on to do successful things is unbelievable.
Shoot, how many of them first teamers went to college and played college football?
Well, a lot of them.
I just think it was awesome.
Over 60%?
Yeah. I'm happy we decided to do this little series in our podcast because I'll tell you what, it is what it is right now, but adding you two now to your staff, and I feel like there's a lot more to come.
I think after the football season ends, we do the top 25 games.
I like that.
The best 25 games. You know, because again, the state championship game where you win the state is always, it's kind of like when they said, "What's the best day of your life?"
Well, yeah.
Of course, it's the birth of your children. So you almost have to put that, but deep down, you're kind of like, man, there were the few.
Well, shit, it was 42-7?
42-13. Where that Lodi game, level four.
That game
we beat Edgerton at Bigfoot, you know, to get into the playoffs, and Edgerton, all they had to do was beat us to win the conference title.
Yeah.
Almond Bancroft.
Yes, he's already listening.
Oh, my God.
Big Rod, this was a great series. I enjoyed listening to all this.
It's been fun.
And now you can just kind of keep this and filter people in and out.
Yeah, it will. To all of the players that Big Rod has mentioned, it's awesome to be able to bring you guys back and to kind of reminisce. And I'm looking forward to what the future has to offer. Because, like I said, you guys, from what I've heard and read, you guys are going to have a good year. So
plan on it.
You know, Big Rod, he might be, how old are you, 50-something?
52. Maybe.
he's like a young 35-year-old.
Exactly.
He's a new sprinting chicken. He's ready to have a new run at it. And having Gus coach with him, I think We're in for a good season. So happy football season to all of you. Bears are going to win the NFC North. Packers are not going to finish in the top four.
Top four. That's four teams.
I know. I meant
for the love of God.
Bottom four. Bears might finish in the top four. I don't know. They're in a division. I don't know.
I'm just taking it.
Thin question right now.
Bears are going to the Super Bowl. Okay. Mr. Biscuit. All right, hey, that's what it is. I don't know what our podcast schedule is going to be like. It's going to be pretty hectic here within the next few weeks, actually 9 weeks. So we're going to do our best. Phil, thanks for joining us tonight.
Phil. Anything in closing, Phil?
My pleasure.
Yeah.
I just got one question for Jake.
Yeah.
What are the Bears going to be like this year? What's their record?
12-4.
7 and 9.
See, that's ridiculous.
7 and 9. I say 10 and 6.
I was about to say 10. 10. 10 is their worst. 10 is their worst.
We're winning it. We're going to the Super Bowl.
Packers are finishing dead last.
Dead last.
Lions are making it into the playoffs this year.
Dear God, Gus, good luck this year, my friends.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Get after it, okay?
Will do.
All right, no, go Brewers. The Brewers also lost big time today.
Oh, my God.
Like 13 home runs in a game or something, 12?
They were two touchdowns short of winning.
Too many accidents. All right, fellas, we'll be back. Not sure when. Last time I said we'll be back.
We'll figure it out.
But we'll get back to you, okay? Dear God, Bear in the Basement, boys.